Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Meanwhile, in a boardroom in Leicester.
Right then, let's sort out this squad for this coming season. I think it's shaping up nicely. Just a quick check, how many hookers are we on? 7 or 8?
Yeah, currently on 7, so a bit light. We're working on the 8th.
Okay, good. Right, where else are we then? One other big point we need to talk about is Nicky Gonover.
Yeah, we've looked at Nicky's contract. We sat down with his agent. Let's face it, he's a 32-year-old winger. What do we need with that?
I know, and the other good thing about this is, you know, we're losing Nicky Gonover, but we're getting JP Peterson.
Exactly. Jokes on them. This will not come back to haunt us in any way.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And we are here after Judgment Weekend, where the playoff positions in both the Pro 14 and the Aviva Premiership. Can't say even that as like a...
No.
It's taken on a whole new connotation. By the way, that's why Phil was away in Valencia last week, just taking his Mrs. Claire away on a weekend to get her mind off of the sad loss of Avicii.
We were both in mourning.
Yep. Welcome back, Phil. You all right?
I'm good. Very good.
How was Valencia?
It was awesome. Really good. A few nice meals, a few nice drinks. Went to the awesome Science Park. It's not called the Science Park, but...
Okay, so...
Yeah.
Are there bars in there?
Well, let me tell you, we turned up, there's a science museum. Uh-huh. We turned up to the science museum at about 11 a.m. on the Sunday morning.
So you actually went to go to the science museum?
We did go to the science museum. The surroundings are incredible. There is a cafe in the science museum, so we stopped to get a baguette and a coffee. The two blokes in front of us ordered 4 bottles of beer each. There's nothing like visiting a science museum absolutely loaded.
Yeah, I have a few problems with this, right? So, bars do this frequently, and it confuses me. Do you know when they call themselves something innocuous, and actually it turns out it's a bar, or it's not a bar? So, for instance, Manchester, Deaf Institute. I mean, I'd be annoyed if I showed up and it was a Deaf Institute. And I kind of feel the same way about a science park. I mean, it's not actually got any science in it.
No, it does. It has a science museum.
Oh, but there's not active. See, I thought it was a drinking area.
There's lots of things. There's like a concert hall, there's a science park, and there's a couple of other bits and pieces. But even just to go and walk around it is magnificent.
But JB bands have been doing this for ages. There's Bombay Bicycle Club, for example.
How do I join?
Tokyo Police Club, Two Door Cinema Club.
Really?
Yeah, there's always, but they've been doing it for ages.
So I made up a band once. I might go back and make it up again. Polar Bear Knife Fight, because I just think it would, it would just stick with all the indie people.
It's a great name for
Polar Bear Knife
Fight.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think there is a band called Knife Fight.
PBKF.
Yeah, there's Knife Party.
Knife Party. That's it.
London based.
Wow, started strong.
What a podcast.
We haven't even got to the rugby yet. Hello, JB, as well.
Hello, Tim.
Right, so you can find us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere that we are. You know the score by now. And you can also, because you're listening to us right now, take advantage of an incredible offer from our friends at Cornerstone.
Yes, you can.
Now, I know that we were just talking about, you know, hipster band names and stuff. I know that hipster beards are on trend at the minute, but that's got to end, and maybe the summer months will be the time when that ends. So if you've been flirting with the idea of getting rid of a beard, or you're just so fed up with looking at beards and you just want to make your point by having the smoothest shave that you could possibly get, then Cornerstone is what you need to do. You get a mail order razor sent to you, 6 German precision engineered razors, and a free engraved metal aluminium weighty heavy shaft with your initials on it. And you can get that all for less than a pint at a cost of a pint, £4. If you go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, that's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, or
egg tent at checkout. Now, I'm going to tell you a very boring and brief rugby beard-based story.
Ooh,
exactly.
Two of my favourite things.
Yeah, and coffee. It was coffee involved as well.
Three of my favourite things.
So I went to a coffee shop in town called Pot Kettle Black. Now, just a bit of background, this is owned by two rugby league boys. So mm-hmm. if you go in there, there's a good chance that you'll see a rugby player walk in. They kind of stick together, they stick with their own. And in walks a guy, okay, who, let's see if you can guess which player it was. Looks a bit like Sebastian Chabal, exactly the same style, similar position.
Luke Abraham.
Correct. Luke Abraham walked.
What's he doing these days?
Well, that's a good question, because I'm looking over
former Leicester
and Sale.
And Sale open side flanker.
Yeah.
And England sevens.
And very, very distinctive looking, right?
Yeah.
So
I'm like, that's Luke Abraham. But I double checked anyway. Oh, and he comes in and he hugs everyone, so he obviously knows everyone. So I check on my phone. I'm looking at pictures of Luke Abraham. I'm just going back and forth like, definitely Luke, definitely him. And after my breakfast, went up, introduced myself. It was not Luke Abraham. It was a complete random person that knows all the staff in there who looks just like him.
Now, that is pretty astonishing, because there are very few hipsters with the physique that you can get them confused with a professional or former professional rugby player.
Yeah.
Almost none.
Yeah, I imagine there's a fair few who...
CrossFit types.
Yeah, CrossFit, personal trainery types.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the sort of Love Island physique is not a rugby physique, because that is just all for show and there's no functional strength
just
or
like
power
me.
Involved in it at all.
You're,
just like what?
Just like me.
You're all for show or you're
yeah,
all power?
All for show.
No, purely functional over here. Purely functional and nothing for show. But yeah, you're right. A proper rugby physique, when you see them up close, is... Just the thickness.
Yes. That's a density almost.
Yeah. It's hard to get them confused with a member of the general public.
Do you know what? I'm actually often quite amazed by how small they are.
Well, this is it's an interesting point, because when you get a whole group of rugby players all together, like, they do look relatively small. If you plonk one of them,
yes, that's true.
In an accounts department.
Yeah, or a coffee shop full of bookkeepers, lawyers, medics.
Medics, particularly medics.
Not lumberjacks, hod carriers.
Well, yeah, I mean, scaffolder is my new is my new definition of, you know, how big a guy is. Like, Gary Graham just looks like a scaffolder. had another good game on Friday.
He did. There's a few players, actually, that... I've been putting their hand up for a tour spot to South Africa, which will be interesting to see what Eddie Jones does, because clearly he needs to change things, but then you don't want to just lob in kids, go into the absolute bear pit of
you
South Africa, and you don't want to make wholesale changes, because that will ruin the dynamics. So it'll be really fascinating to see what he does. Gary Graham, I can see, makes sense. He's been playing well the last few weeks, and he's a genuine seven. Brendan O'Connor's also an out-and-out seven.
Great player.
Will he make the plane? His name hasn't really been mentioned.
Never been mentioned, has it, really? I mean, in any context.
Yeah, other than by... I think you were, perhaps, or we were one of the first...
And any fan of Leicester Tigers will be saying the same.
So the story behind Brendan O'Connor is they got him basically through statistical analysis. And when they looked at his performances at the Blues, he was outperforming everyone. And that's
had
why
Moneyball just come out at the cinema at the time?
It had, actually, yeah. It had. It was right around that time. And that's why they ended up with him. I sort of noticed him a little bit last year because he was in my fantasy rugby team and he kept on scoring.
Yeah.
Because that's where Major used to put him, out on the wing.
He did very well last season, particularly, because he was obviously this season he's had a few issues with injuries.
But I'd get him in.
And, well, you could have a couple of New Zealanders in the back row.
And the South African.
And a Fijian.
Who would be the Fijian back row?
Nathan Hughes,
yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You could probably have a pretty good all
foreign born
like,
English
naturalised English 15.
I don't even think they're naturalised. I mean,
no, a lot
Hughes
of them have like Brendan O'Connor has an English mum.
Yeah, that's right.
Ben
yeah.
Teo
yeah.
has an English mum.
Yeah, Brad Shields.
Brad Shields has English parents.
Grandparents or parents?
No, parents. Parents. Both parents.
Yeah.
So they're English.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, according to the rules. According to the laws.
I think parents is a totally... The grandparents one, I think, fine. That's the rule. That's the cut-off. But that does make it a little bit flakier. Parents, come on.
I've got a tremendous story, which I can't tell you, so I won't. But I might say in a future podcast about how one team got one of their players English qualified. It's quite remarkable.
Okay.
Right.
It sounds vaguely litigious.
Oh, yeah. It 100% is. Did you enjoy the game on Friday?
Newcastle versus Leicester?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It was a fascinating watch because it started off, I thought it was going to be one of the games of the season, you know, that first 5 minutes, because Newcastle score, then Leicester score. But at the end of it, I thought, my God, Leicester are in a world of trouble here. They had, and I haven't looked at the stats, I can't back this up, it's just how I felt about the game. They had so much possession in the first half, and they could do zero with it. Absolutely zero. Their rugby is boring, dull, one-up rugby, and they're just relying on someone to do something genius. And that is it.
Normally, Tolisso Viano.
Yeah, And they're running these rugby league patterns, right? You know, let's call them rugby league patterns. Let's not call them that. They're the patterns that everyone runs, though.
Decoy runners. Yeah. Behind.
Yeah. It isn't enough to do that. You've got to do it well, and they do it poorly. Everyone's doing it, and if you can't do it well, just don't do it.
Well, the problem with doing it when you've got so George Ford likes to sit deep, which is great if you're going to hit like a couple of runners flat, but when you're then pulling it back even further for the decoy runner, you end up just taking like 10 yards back before you even start going forward. If that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. Completely agree. They are going to have to rethink a lot of stuff at Leicester. It's just not good enough.
Yeah, and where do they start?
It's so difficult, right? Because sacking coaches is the most obvious and easy thing to do. But you can't do it. You can't turn over your coach every year.
Yeah, well, that would be three in a year then, if they did that.
Yeah, so that can't happen. I suppose
as we've said before on previous podcasts, it's like it would be like a CEO of a company repeatedly sacking the MD. Actually... there comes a point where the person who's making the decisions actually has to
carry
accept responsibility for having made bad decisions.
I suspect that would be my way of doing it. I think I'd probably replace the senior people before replacing the coach, and then replace the coach. I mean, if the senior people don't want the existing coach, that's on them. But I think that's how someone somewhere in Leicester Tigers sat down with Nicky Gonover and decided, yeah, not worth it really. and then went away.
Yeah. So. Well, it's interesting that one, because I'm certain they will have offered him a contract.
Yeah.
But Gonover, he is now 34.
He is.
And you often get players will move at that kind of age, players will move to whoever's offering them the longest contract.
I think he got a 3-year contract out of Newcastle.
Which looks a brilliant bit of business.
Doesn't it just?
It looks like an absolute brilliant bit of business. But it's often more than just, oh no, Leicester don't want him at all. They will take him at the right price.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is that... But I would say now that the price that they set was the wrong price. You know, it's a value decision.
You're right.
So, and to be fair to them, how would they know, actually? How would you know your 33-year-old winger is going to carry on playing like a 23-year-old winger?
Yeah, and it's interesting. So I was looking back, Nicky Gonover only started playing top level. By that I mean he was playing in France in Pro 2.
Yeah, he was. Where was he?
I don't
Dax or somewhere.
Somewhere. I think he played a couple of clubs. But he was 28 when he first signed top level. So he's got relatively few miles on the clock.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so maybe that should have... Again, easy with hindsight.
We've just had, and I watched some of it, we've just had the NFL draft this weekend, the annual process of picking...
Did you get further than when we watched it at my draft party? Which is basically an adult sleepover.
Yeah, it was JB and me falling asleep before waking up at the end of...
The draft's been.
Oh, the draft's happened. Oh, who got what? I did get further. I at least watched the New York Jets because we were in at sixth, but we got the third pick. We got a good quarterback. But my point being, the number of players that have defied what people thought of them or been complete and utter flops when everybody, and think of the number of man hours that goes into that, and they have each team will have 12 scouts who have a full-time 14-hour-a-day job for a year just to get to this point where they pick one person.
Yeah.
And the fact that that can flop means a team can slightly undervalue or overvalue a player. And Newcastle have done well.
Yeah.
I've done very well.
Yeah, they've done very well at that, just like Exeter did with Waldrum when he, again, left Leicester.
That's another one, isn't it? So Leicester are interesting because there are a couple of ways to do things. And Leicester seems to have gone down the path of saying, okay, we'll hand it over to Simon Cohen, whose background is an agent, so you'd expect him to be pretty good on the negotiation side and all the rest of it. And then they've got a head of rugby, who's Jed Glynn. And then they've got the director of rugby. Or is Matt O'Connor a head coach, or is he a director of rugby?
Matt O'Connor's director of rugby, I think.
Yeah, so they've got a head of rugby. So they've got lots of different layers of people doing different things, which I think is more like the American football process. You know, you have front office, back office, coaches, so on and so forth. Whereas Exeter Chiefs, I mean, I'm sure they'll tell you that they do things, you know, they do use statistics and so on and so forth, but it does feel like it's more of a gut decision based on the character of the player. Same with Sale. Sale just sign basically on Steve Diamond's gut instinct if he thinks that they're good or not.
Mm. And can't argue with that.
I bet Saracens don't, though.
Leicester fans, well, could they legitimately argue that Luke Pearce had a decisive, not defining, because I think that would take it away from Newcastle too much to say that, but a decisive part in the result in the end with that final late try again?
Yeah, so the problem with the Luke Pearce situation is it's very embarrassing for Luke Pearce because he mucked up the entire process. That said, I think it was natural justice because I think if it had gone to TMO, what could have been a try would not have been awarded. And the fact that they picked up the ball and scored without a second touch basically muddied the water and made sure that there was a try. I think he scored first time round, personally, because the players stopped playing and celebrate. I know you're taught to celebrate, but I think it was a try first time round. If they looked just at that, they wouldn't have got the right angle. Try Osano, can't give it, no try. The fact that he jumped over, that is not a try, but it's natural justice.
So Ali Hogg went into the line, Luke Pearce was unsighted, blew the whistle.
No.
Fractionally after he blew the whistle, Ali Hogg planted the ball on a second. Now, on the basis of the fact the whistle is blown and the fact that it would have been a double movement because he was tackled, held, and couldn't have got back to his knees and reached over, I think he didn't do it immediately, you discount the second part.
Yes, for me. Yeah, absolutely right. And they didn't even look at the first part.
Well, that's the interesting thing. For what I thought I saw was Luke Pearce actually say to the TMO, ignore the second one, basically focus on the first one. Was it a try, yes or no?
Did he say that?
I think he made a point of actually saying, I'm looking at the first grounding here, try yes or no.
I thought he just said, let's look at the grounding, try yes or no. I think.
Maybe.
So, embarrassing for Luke Pearce, completely wrong decision, but the right result, which is it was a try, just not that particular part of the try.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
If he'd said any reason why I can't award a try, then I think it would have been a whole lot easier, which again sort of says that question, the process, is there a way we can streamline that and make it better?
Drones.
Could the referee just make a call on a monitor and not, and the TMO is the actual decision-making role of a TMO is taken out of it? Because the referees quite often are looking at the footage on a screen or whatever and then making the decision anyway.
Yeah.
I actually quite like the question. I think in most situations, and you're never going to get anything that's perfect every time, in most situations it does simplify it. It's either the benefit of doubt, the doubt goes to the attacker, or there's too much uncertainty so I need conclusive proof.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's a system that works pretty well. I'm pretty happy with it.
There will always be contentious ones. And if you're wearing a Leicester hat at the moment, you'll be cursing that because it's not only the implication of that game, but it's massive implications for, well, it's season defining, but also it's historic.
Yeah.
For them, it looks almost certain that they will fail to.
We can no longer say death taxes unless they're in the playoffs.
They are definitely out, aren't they? Yeah. It's done now.
We would on Newcastle, though. I mean, I still do have doubts about his team, but a lot less doubts than I first had. So the knock on Newcastle were, is they're not big enough, they're not fit enough, which is why they score so many points at the start of the game, and then they fade. I mean, that's pretty conclusive.
Well, they've had two games in a row where they've had last-minute winners.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm.
So, this is, to me, it just shows that they're made of more stuff than just good-looking rugby. That last try, particularly in the... Well, actually, no, both of them. I mean, I was going to say, particularly in the Sale game, no. Particularly in the Leicester game, where they basically beat Leicester up for three or four minutes until they got the try. So, they're pretty good.
I'd be fascinated to know if Newcastle are the first side to reach the playoffs who have had a negative, albeit there's one game left, a negative points difference.
Really?
Ooh. I would suspect so, yes.
Which again suggests they've eked out a lot of tight wins. Or they've been humped when they've been lost.
Yeah.
When they've lost.
I can't remember them having a real big loss. Obviously it has happened. New York, Philly even.
That was pretty one-sided.
Didn't they get panned?
It wasn't like 50 points, though. It was probably...
I think it was like...
35-14 or something like that.
Nicky Gonova scored.
Standard.
Yeah. Leicester, I don't think they can complain that that's... I don't want to say that Luke Pearce has cost them a place in the playoffs because there's way more...
Absolutely not.
Way more variables than that. And Leicester, the point is, should have taken it and should have had control.
They're just not good enough, Leicester. But you know, we've said that about them pretty much all season, though.
Yeah,
they've had one good performance, which is Cast at Home, which was magnificent.
when everything was all over. Or was that the very first?
No, it was. They had back-to-back games against them, so it would be the third game into the Champions Cup.
Okay,
and they were magnificent. Other than that, they've got all the players, but just nothing.
I want to. How does it go if teams are equal on points at the end of a season? How does it? Is it wins first?
Head to head, I think. I don't know.
I think it's wins first.
Okay, so Leicester, unless they lose 0 points to 5 points, would have to get the full 5 points, and Leicester get nothing for Sale to jump Leicester,
which is absolutely possible.
It's definitely possible. But basically, Gloucester going away to Saracens, who may rest up some players, but I would suspect as they have a fortnight off before the semi-final, I would suspect not. Gloucester going away to Saracens, I don't expect them to get anything, but...
No. Not the way that they're playing.
Yeah. So Leicester probably still will make top six, but league positions matter in terms of seedings in your Champions Cup group. So I would suggest that Leicester are going to try and bring their A game to the AJ Bell. I mean, Gloucester could beat Saracens on their day, of course, but really, that is the only game
that matters.
That matters.
Yeah, I think the league's pretty much wrapped up now. It would be nice to see Sale get one over on Tigers, finish fifth in the league. That's a pretty impressive season, actually.
It's a very impressive season.
But
yeah,
you know, I've got a feeling that this season will be defined mostly by teams that underperformed.
Northampton, Bath, yeah. Quins.
I think it's pretty much a historic year in the Premiership for teams that are not particularly good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Northampton, Bath, Quins, add Leicester to that. Also add Gloucester to it after their brilliant start.
Yeah.
And then just so many inconsistent...
Weird, isn't it? Gloucester.
And out of character compared to some of their other performances.
Next year, though.
Next year.
There's always next year for those next boys. Year. And I actually think they might have the most... They might have the most talented squad, which is, well, certainly most talented backs. Every one of their backs is capable of just mesmeric things, but they just can't do it.
Just on Leicester, Matt O'Connor is listed as head coach.
Yeah.
With Jed Glynn as head of rugby operations, but they don't have a director of rugby. Okay.
No, I didn't think that they did, because I think Jed Glynn and Simon Cohen, I think Simon Cohen actually does all of the contracts and negotiations.
So, a few rumours and talking points before we get into some other... Actually, before that, let's deal with London Irish, who are relegated, got humped by Saracens, and they were already relegated before that game today.
Yeah, Worcester.
Picked up a handy victory over Harlequins to draw them level on points with Quins.
Mm-hmm.
In the hunt for 9th, 10th, 11th.
Ooh, the hunt for 9th, 10th, 11th. It just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. but Irish are down and... a pretty sorry season for them. They only got three wins, one of them on the opening day. Which it, they got 5 points on the opening day, and they picked up 17 further points since then.
I think
how's ten of them being bonus.
How's this for a weird rule? Okay, what about the promoted team can not go down the next year? Because you need a season in the Premiership to bed in. So if you come up, right, you get excluded from relegation for 1 year.
No.
But then you're kind of screwing over the team that...
finished. No, we're not. They screw themselves over by being the second worst team.
The change that's happened that was necessary was the playoff in the Championship. Bristol knew 2 weeks ago they've got all their recruitment in place. They're going to be much, much better prepared than London Irish were, who had to wait until the end of May. And, to know that they were going
and
up.
That Bristol were previously when they went up and down, and London Welsh when they went up and down, and
the next year's
so
the real
many
test.
Teams have yo-yoed.
Yeah, I've got a theory for Bristol, okay, and Ulster. Why doesn't Bristol sell Ian Madigan to Ulster?
Mm-hmm.
Irish qualified. Apparently, Ulster need a fly half.
You're going to say Sippers, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. And then Bristol can bring in Sippers. He stays in England, gets a nice pay packet, potentially eligible for the World Cup. No, it is eligible for the World Cup, not potentially. It is eligible.
I do have to say, it does seem... Well, Eddie Jones doesn't choose what club players go to, but it would seem odd that Eddie Jones wouldn't want to have him just as an option.
It's bizarre. Yeah. It's absolutely bizarre.
Eddie Jones can't do anything about that.
No.
As far as I'm aware.
Well,
he can't tell the clubs and the director of rugby or chief executives who they should or should not sign.
But I tell you what, a phone call from Eddie Jones to Danny Cipriani saying, look mate, you're in my plans, would definitely, well not definitely, it would go a long way to helping him stay in the UK.
If he had a 1 year contract offer, like the numbers don't really matter, but 1 year contract offer for 100k less to be in the UK, that would be of benefit to him.
Yeah. And someone could use him.
You do, You do reap what you sow a little bit, don't you?
Yeah.
He could have made some different life choices at times, which would have meant he's in a very different situation now.
Yeah, maybe.
Potentially.
You don't hear that about him anymore. I mean...
No, that's why I'm saying I'm not...
Yeah, we've all been...
at times.
We've all been young and stupid. Maybe he was a little bit more stupid than others when he was younger. But he is phenomenal with a rugby ball. And ultimately, you know... I'm not paying him to educate my children. I'm paying him to throw a rugby ball around. So I don't really care.
Well, that probably segues us on nicely to, well, where you were actually going to go with the other half of that fly half equation, which is the Paddy Jackson, Stuart Aldin.
Who knows where they're going to go?
And so I was having a debate with not really a kind of quasi rugby man. A few nights ago.
Okay.
And he was saying that if he was a Sale fan, he would not want them in his team.
I would.
They are the team that are getting some traction.
Yes.
So in the Belfast Telegraph and reported over here in several places.
Yeah. So one, the director of rugby is pretty okay with it. All right?
Yeah, and so he's probably one of the best director of rugby to have.
You know, if you...
Issues like that.
Was it what era was it? The Oakland Raiders had this
collection of. That's what I want.
Yeah, the Oakland Raiders had this collection of like bad boys.
Yeah.
Okay.
A ragtag bunch of misfits that didn't fit
it
in anywhere else, and they were fierce. They were so fierce, and weren't they?
Oh no! Was it Madden? Yeah, Madden.
I think it was John Madden. Yeah.
Madden's team. Yeah, exactly. The other thing as well is if you brought these two boys in, you can bring in anyone.
Let me just be clear, the way that the Oakland Raiders were feared and the way that some of these guys would be feared is unfortunately very different.
Were they bad boys for kind of fighting on the pitch type thing?
Ken Stabler apparently stayed up the night before the Super Bowl till about 4 in the morning. That's just
the story of the John Madden Raiders. I record them all, the America's Game NFL documentaries, and that is the best episode.
Really?
The story.
That's why I love the Raiders.
Yeah, they're so good.
Yeah, so yeah, if they did get those two, they could literally sign anyone and no one would mention it.
Yeah.
So it'd be now, perfect cover.
Here's another question. When Ched Evans tried to sign for... It happened to
Oldham.
Several clubs. Oldham.
Sheffield United.
Chesterfield or another. There was a few. There was protests and... signatories on a list to say he should not be playing for this club.
Yeah.
Do you think that would happen?
I think it, so. Here's the thing, right? So Sale Sharks are the premier club in the Northwest.
It's the only way that Sale will get a mention in the Manchester Evening News.
There we go. Right, there are people in Manchester who have no idea Sale Sharks play rugby. They think it's an aquarium, right? This at least people would know who Sale Sharks are.
Yes,
I mean nationally, you would know who they are.
On that basis, there's probably some people that could do that job even better than Paddy Jackson or Stuart Olding.
Yes, maybe
not even.
But like, you know, they are not guilty. That is the
get Abu Hamza in.
Oh, where at hooker?
No, he's got a great handoff.
Hey, more.
Yeah, sorry, that is completely tasteless. Back to serious things.
Back to serious rugby.
Jackson and Alden going to any English club, say. Yeah.
The only thing I'd say is don't have... Actually, no, if you're going to get one, get both.
Yeah. It's that risk versus reward. And again, just drawing the parallels with the NFL, with this draft situation, you sometimes see situations where players who go on to be Hall of Fame superstars have made bad life choices and get overlooked. And loads of teams pass on them and say, oh, I don't want to take the risk. And they end up being absolute superstars. So it's the risk-reward. You don't know what the outcome is.
I think you
have to be comfortable with weighing up what the potential consequences negatively could be versus the potential upside.
I think signing two of them is asking for trouble in a way, isn't it? You know, like, one, I'd sign one, I think.
Yeah.
Or would I sign both?
I think one makes more
and
sense.
And also... They wouldn't. Olding would be a useful piece for Sale. Jackson, not so much. I actually think AJ McGinty's much better.
Just on a principle thing, I think as much as they would be able to give each other that kind of support, knowing what the other one's going through, follow your own path, boys.
Yeah, it's got to be a rugby-based decision. Yeah. Olding fits, Jackson doesn't.
I do think Jackson is a better player.
What, than AJ?
Yeah.
No, not even... I don't think they're comparable.
You don't think they're comparable?
I think AJ is far superior to Jackson.
No.
Okay.
But right now at Sale, AJ will be a better fit. Because look at how long it took AJ to bed into Sale.
Yeah, it's a tough way to play.
It's difficult for anyone, and particularly fly halves. And like we said last year that both Bath and Leicester were worse for the Freddie Burns, George Ford, swap, at least in the short term.
I can't even think of it. Weirdly, I can't think of a Premiership club that needs a fly half desperately. Worcester. John O'Lance is coming back. They quite like him, and you know he plays well.
Yeah.
So it's not.
Is Doddy Weir going to Doddy Weir? Duncan Weir.
Duncan Weir. Yes.
Yeah,
going to Worcester. So they're signing two decent fly halves.
Yeah. So I don't know where he's going to fit. I tell you where he should go.
France.
Glasgow.
Glasgow could work, but then you
replace Finn Russell.
You still get you've got too much of the. It's too close to home a little bit.
Yeah,
in the Pro 14, I want to go to France,
Japan,
or even Japan. Or what about, I don't know, South Africa or Australia?
It is a weird thing, isn't it, that now that the spectre of Irish rugby is gone, you know, he's not going to play for Ireland for at least a little while. He's actually a lot freer than he was previously, just to pursue things which are fun.
He'll play for the
Jaguares.
He could go anywhere in the world.
Don't do that.
Well, speaking of the Jaguares,
I know
they're on a roll.
Yeah.
They've won in South Africa, in Australia, and now in New Zealand.
Yeah.
They beat the Blues this weekend.
I might have to start watching them again. It was too painful to watch them.
It was.
Seems like they're actually possibly they're like, I don't know. They've got the party out of their system.
Yeah.
Now they're like, right, now down to work.
Well, they had 2 years of heavy partying after the 2015 World Cup. Yeah. Heavy, heavy partying, believe me.
And now they've gone, oh, what, is it just over a year to the World Cup? All right, fine, I'll pull my finger out now.
Best start tuning up.
And it was almost like they were experimenting with different styles of play and just...
Different
styles of partying.
Yeah.
Just doing a bit of everything. Whereas now they're focused on the winning formula that... has taken Argentina to World Cup semi-finals, World Cup quarter-finals.
The thing is, I have no idea how they play. How are they playing at the moment? I've not seen a minute of their rugby.
Well, they're not trying to run everything from their own 22, which is what they've tried to do for the past 2 years. They've got a pretty fearsome pack, which gives them a very good set piece. And Nicolas Sanchez seems to be controlling things. And then they've got the typical kind of pace and flair out wide.
Nice.
They're doing from... I've not seen a full game. I've only seen the highlights this season.
There is a very evil trick being played on everyone in rugby at the moment from New Zealand, which is convincing the world that the only way to play rugby is playing it like the Hurricanes or playing it like the Chiefs. And they know they can do this because they have these, you know, rather large private schools coaching exceptional rugby, and they have kids playing since, you know, everyone makes out that, well, actually they're right, everyone makes out that all the kids play all the time, and they do, so they're able to play this expansive game. But what they do is they con people like England into saying, oh yeah, you should also be trying to play like us, meaning that people like Haguares, for instance, were trying to run it from everywhere. Really, everyone needs to be concentrating on beating up New Zealand rather
and
than playing like them.
New Zealand kick more than other international teams.
Yeah, but they won't tell
fact.
You.
Fact. They don't tell you that.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
No, keep it in hands. No, you guys keep it in hands. We'll be kicking, thanks.
Yeah, well, keep looking at all the amazing things Beauden Barrett does. Ignore all the kicks.
Exactly.
I almost think that's more misinformed or uninformed or lazy commentators who just, they only talk about the brilliance of the New Zealand running game rather than the intelligence of their kicking and the decision-making, whether to run,
exactly,
pass, or kick.
Exactly. The identification of space.
Yeah.
Whether that's the wingers dropped off so I won't kick, or... Yeah, exactly.
But equally, the Chiefs and the Hurricanes, who are two of the best teams, and the Crusaders, actually, all three of those teams have, as their playmakers, some of the most talented, arguably the three most talented players on the planet.
Yeah, maybe. But which is why we shouldn't, anyone in Northern Hemisphere shouldn't try and play their game.
Yeah, I mean, we simply don't have anyone as talented as
Beauden
Barrett.
Maybe the French do.
Or Beauden Barrett or Damien McKenzie.
Maybe not at the fly half position, but maybe at the nine position.
Rico Ioane, they're clearly, Steve Hansen's clearly trying to get him into centres.
Is he?
Well, he wants to play centre,
does
he?
He
said.
This is all news to me.
He's played loads of outside centre, loads of inside centre, and I think he's only played two or three games on the wing in Super Rugby.
Really? Mm. Oh, that is interesting.
He is seriously fast, though.
He is quite rapid, isn't he?
Well, you saw Lions when he burned Elliot Daly, who's not particularly slow.
Yeah. And he's looking very good on the wing at the moment.
Yeah, he is.
I much prefer him on the wing than outside centre.
But with Jonathan Joseph injured, England have got an opportunity to experiment. He's the man I'd like to see more time at 13.
I think he's wasted there.
No.
Defensively, he's a good decision maker.
Yeah.
Get him, create some space, get him on an outside break with someone with gas outside him. It also, wing is a position where England are actually relatively stacked. So it means you can get another body in.
Mm.
Jack Noll, for example, was, you know.
Yeah. Jack Noll, I do like having Noll in the team because of the work rate he puts in.
Yeah.
Or Woodburn.
Woodburn, that's a boy.
Yeah.
That's the boy that they really need to play with. This is going to be one of the most interesting England teams for a long time.
I thought you were going to say interesting podcast. We've not really talked about this week's
game. Well, let's stick with the New Zealand just for a second.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, I wonder how much this is a reaction to Israel Folau and his outburst the other week.
Oh, no.
New Zealand have got a new hashtag that goes along with their jersey, which is now on sale. The hashtag is diversity is strength. And when you stretch...
I don't even know what it means. I don't even know what that means.
When you stretch the new New Zealand jersey, it's black when it's just worn, and then when you stretch it on the front, it reveals a rainbow image.
What?
Heroes. That'll sort it. That'll solve everything. Well done, lads.
Well, my reaction to that is, what about the big fat lad who puts the shirt on?
Why have
you got a different kit? Oh, I'm not. Just fat.
So... here's an idea, right? Let's just get rid of the gay flag thing, right? And have stretchy shirts. And when it stretches, it just says shame. So it actually encourages players to get in good shape for the season. But you can have different, you can have stretching in different ways. Like on the arms, it might stretch, say, hench.
Or across the chest, pump.
Yeah. So it can be like an incentive. That is intelligent kit.
Yeah, around the belly, shame.
Strength is diversity. What clowns. you can almost imagine the meeting that they had in order to, I mean, the thing is about New Zealand, it's so far behind everywhere else. They probably think that this is cutting edge.
Well,
it sounds like a discussion that happened in 2010.
No, but this might be the thing that New Zealand are... Everyone will follow New Zealand. So as long as the New Zealand players are putting no credence on this, they're just completely ignoring it, and they've got the marketing, then every other country is going to be having all of their players on diversity training and awareness.
Yeah, which is absolutely critical. Absolutely critical.
So maybe they are actually quite far ahead.
Mm. Okay, a couple of other stories. We can just deal with these really quickly.
Yeah.
Harry Malinder to Exeter. Rumoured.
Ooh, that's a nice signing for them.
How do I feel about
that? It hasn't happened. It's just it's all pure speculation. It hasn't come from me. It's just stuff that's been online and people have been... So it's just pure speculation at this point. Harry Malinder to Exeter. Steve Maffey back to Leicester with Mike Williams possibly being on his way out.
I thought that had already been signed, that one, though.
It may well, but it hasn't been announced. What was it?
Steve Maffey would be a decent signing.
Yeah. Gerbrandt Grobler, he's going from Munster to Gloucester. He's the guy that had the 2-year ban for anabolic steroids.
Oh, good lad.
Second row. And Gloucester are expected to sign Franco Mostert, a lock as well. Another South African lock.
Mm, yeah. There's a lot of South African stuff going on in Munster at the moment, isn't there?
In Gloucester.
Gloucester, that one.
Oh, sorry. I thought...
In Gloucester, yeah, yeah. And then, Warren... And speaking of Gloucester and South Africans, I want to know when Johan Hansi von Rensburg signing the Gloucester versus Sale tug of war.
So
when's that happening?
I've heard he's got two agents and he's signed two contracts. That's what I understand the situation to be.
What?
Yeah, this is completely unsubstantiated nonsense I'm talking about.
Good.
But he has two agents, one of which might be closer to Steve Diamond, the other one might be closer to
So this is the danger with Twitter. You can just pick up stories like that from everyone.
Well, I mean, you're assuming that I picked it up from Twitter, of course.
Well,
yeah,
or maybe giving you a way out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, maybe give me a way out. So I imagine this is going to get a lot more messy before it becomes any more clear.
Now, if Sale sign Alding, they don't really need von Rensburg.
Well, this is the thing. Okay, so I don't want to talk about Stuart Alding anymore.
No,
because it feels like he's most... but he doesn't really fit what Sale do. I mean, they like a big, aggressive centres to get over the gain line.
And Alding would actually seem like a decent fit, at least in playing style, to Gloucester. Because he's more like a...
They don't need any more talent there.
No, I agree, actually. They've already got lots of centres.
Yeah. I mean, I find it weird that so many clubs and their fans are so obsessed by new signings. When actually, most clubs have actually got what it takes inside the squad. Because all the squads are so good and good and so balanced. Rensburg would be a much better fit for Sale than he would for Gloucester, and yeah, he should go there.
The other thing that's been rumoured and been talked about, Warren Gatland and Joe Schmidt are already contenders for the England job post Eddie Jones. The RFU have begun their recruitment process.
Schmidt and Gatland.
Yes.
But this would be up to 2021.
Yeah, there's no two of these. Gatland's the man, so yeah, if he wants it, I'm sure that he can have
it. They've got very deep pockets, and I'm sure it's got to be a difficult job for anyone not to take, just on that basis alone.
Hmm. Yeah. Not the two most inspired choices, are they?
Well, no, it's just the start of a process.
Yeah.
Surely the process should start with Rob Baxter and finish with Rob Baxter.
Yeah.
I mean, it should come off from a shortlist of one.
And depending on how Eddie corrects the downfall, it should start with at least some kind of combined approach.
Yeah, he can only correct the downfall by either giving away a large portion of his job to somebody else or stepping down completely. This isn't going to get any better.
It's going to be interesting to see how it does change going forward.
Let's talk about Gloucester, because did you watch their mockery of a game?
I did. It's the one game that I watched most of, actually. I've been doing a lot of...
I shall let you talk about this, because... I found it odd.
Well, I didn't... So, Gloucester played a lot worse than they have at times this season. Bath played a lot better than they have at times. They also both played exactly like they have at times for this season. These are two of the most inconsistent teams we've had this season. I mean, Bath have had some brilliant performances, which have been few and far between. Gloucester have had some terrible performances, like slightly fewer farther between.
Yep.
Now, in this game, Gloucester were absolutely awful to start.
Yeah.
Woeful. Set piece awful. You talk about the basics. Set piece, line speed, putting tackles down, defensive positioning. They were like non-existent at times.
Yeah.
Absolutely non-existent. It was like they were uncoached or they were rebelling against the defensive coach.
Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of, remember when England played Uruguay in Manchester City Stadium?
Yeah.
And they were playing rugby pretty much for the sake of it. Like, oh, we're going to put on a good show today, quick line outs, we're going to throw the ball around, you know, with that, with basically no care whatsoever. They both just did that, and Bath were better at it than Gloucester were.
Yeah, there was an element of that. But Gloucester,
I mean, you expect Gloucester to come at this game with a little bit more focus, don't you? A little bit more structure.
Yeah.
Well, I think that Tom Homer try, which was an absolutely amazing finish. You knew he had that in his locker.
Not me.
He played well, actually.
Yeah, he did. So that Tom Homer try, I think, was perfectly illustrated it all. Because the most basic non-negotiables, the most basic expectation you would have of a professional rugby player is effort. And they're just... The lack of...
Yeah.
What appeared to be the lack of effort of two players, I think it was Mark Atkinson and Billy Burns, to make a tackle. Like it was one of those we all played in games or something where you've seen someone do that, they're just trying to make it look like they made a tackle.
Yeah.
When they actually made no real effort. I'm not accusing either of those players of that. It may just have been that Tom Homer was deceptively quick and had footwork. But you watch it again.
Well, yeah.
But the way they flopped off him, it was those players will be embarrassed when they look through the video session.
They will be. They made Tom Homer, who is a decent player, they made him look like an absolute world beater.
So he used to be very good. Like when he first came on the scene at 19 for Irish, I thought he was going to be a future international. Then it feels like he had at least 18 months out injured, and then Bath picked him up again. But he used to be a phenomenal player and quite a good kicker too. So if he's finding his form back to anything like he used to be, he's going to be an absolute quality signing for Bath.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's been there a few years now, hasn't he? But to get him back.
But let's not forget, I mean, I know Gloucester have got to go to Saracens next week, so you could argue that the chances of them getting into the top four were slim. But Gloucester, a win, would have put them right in contention for a top four spot still.
Yeah,
so, yes, it would.
So you can't fathom how they could be that abject.
Yeah.
On that particular occasion, against their big rivals, Bath.
In a derby match as well.
At home.
Yeah. Astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. And I thought, I kind of convinced myself that Ackerman would get these failings out. He'd somehow train them out of the Gloucester mindset. But he doesn't seem to have done.
No.
I don't feel comfortable with... I hear what you're saying and I get that. And I suppose a coach does kind of set the agenda, but I feel sorry for coaches when I see stuff like that, because you can do all the training you want all week and you can't stop a player from not having his head on.
Yeah,
I
think you can influence it though. If the players are really motivated to play for that coach and they've got the basic patterns, the basic drills, the basic shape, and they are then motivated, I struggle to see how things like that perfect example of the Tom Homer try, shouldn't happen. Mm. But they happened over and over and over again in this game.
So when I've spoke to players who've played underneath him, well, there's a couple of things that stand out. First of all, it's like they've joined Scientology and they've met Tom Cruise. I mean, it's that kind of mystique that he has with his players.
They love him.
They absolutely love him.
Like you with Steve Diamond.
Exactly right. When you enter the diamond sphere, there's no getting out. The other thing is...
Diamondology.
Dimology. I'm actually going to do my dissertation on dimology. The other thing as well is he tends not to impart his way on players, if this makes sense, but rather encourage them to play how they play. So develop them as players rather than say, you've got to play... Rather than being Matt O'Connor saying, you've got to play these three phases this way.
Yeah.
He's very much more about, okay, well, you're pretty talented, so have a crack and try things.
Within this looser structure.
Yeah. And yeah, so
play what you see.
Yeah, that's why people like Faf de Klerk have come out the Lions. That's why... Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Ackerman then.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 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 I see. Yeah, I got you.
Faf and Elton Yantys, those type
Elton Yancey's is the classic one.
He and Quaggersmith is very unorthodox for an open side flanker, that type.
So, like, you know, Yancey's is interesting because he hasn't been particularly good when he's not been at the Lions.
Yeah.
And now he's at the Lions, he looks absolutely well.
Does it say anything about the Premiership that works to a degree, but looks quite a long way off Exeter and Saracens? Although I say that, and Wasps are right up there still. Wasps are similar to Gloucester in that sense.
They are. Wasps just rely on all their talent to play rugby. Yeah. You know, that's what they do. And sometimes it's magnificent. Gloucester at times, and when they've got all their players on form, on song, they look great.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to take maybe another year.
But with all that said, maybe we're doing Bath a little bit of a disservice because they were very good.
Mm.
They played well. One of the best performances, it kind of reminded me of when they beat Saracens early in the season, where they were trying things.
Game three, wasn't it? Or game two?
First few weeks of the season.
Yeah, they were unbeaten for the first two, and they lost against Northampton, of all people.
Yeah, makes sense.
Standard.
Yeah, the inconsistency that I mentioned before. But they were trying things. It was coming off. And they had a few brilliant performers. Charlie Yules early on in the game. Francois Lowe was excellent. He was everywhere defensively.
Falatel's a serious player. Even when he's not playing well, he's a serious player.
Yeah, and he draws in defenders because he's such a presence and so capable. But even like James Wilson, Ali Brew.
Yeah.
Both played.
James Wilson, why did no one want him at the start of the season?
Well,
he's so good.
I was watching this game thinking, this should be, because we've used some of these mid-season signings to highlight the weaknesses in Bath.
Yeah.
And it does, it highlights, I almost think it highlights the weaknesses in Mike Ford, because Mike Ford left the team in such a position that when Blackadder took over, he's having to plug gaps because there were so many gaps across the board.
I think that's unfair. I think Todd Blackadder, and if he's sacked, again, there's rumours about this.
I really
hope this isn't the case. If he's sacked, I think, I just don't think it should happen. But he has had, when you look at it, the worst luck for two consecutive years with injuries.
With injuries, you're right.
Horrendous.
He's been there 2 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Horrendous. Well, he joined. He was late. He wasn't there for pre-season. He arrived basically at the start of the season last year.
Did he? Has Ackerman been here 2 years now?
No, this is his first
season.
I thought they came at the same time.
No, it was a year apart.
But so you could. The shape of the Bath squad was partly that Todd Blackadder was chasing his tail a little. Todd Blackadder was. Did I just say Todd Blackadder?
Yeah.
Blackadder. He was chasing his tail a little bit because he joined late, changing from Super Rugby season over, and moving over. So he was chasing his tail there. They've never been able to catch up. But also, the injuries have been absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, but everyone's got horrendous injuries.
No, Bath have had it. It's not a competition here. It's just, who knows is there a systemic reason for it? We don't know. But Bath's injury issues have been
way worse than
any other team.
There is one club in the Premiership that I know of who literally just do not do any kind of physical contact. Well, do some physical contact. No rugby contact during training at all. Because, they claim that they've got the best injury rate in the Premiership and have for the last 7 years. So it'd be interesting to see what Bath are doing to their players in training.
We spoke a few years ago about Leicester when they had a horrendous spate of injuries.
And they were still doing the contact on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, and it's a rugby league thing. In rugby league, admittedly the players are smaller, but they have far more, certainly tackles per game.
Mm.
And they don't have horrendous injury rates. Certainly, there's not statistically significant greater injuries in rugby league than rugby union, and they do virtually no contact in training.
Yeah, they really don't do any.
Yeah,
I was talking to a Premiership coach about coaching at Toc H, of course, right? Like the stuff that you do, because it does annoy me. There's some inconsistencies, and amateur coaches do this all the time, of removing contact completely from sessions. Which is fine if you're a professional team and everyone knows how to do the basics, great. But if you literally can't tackle, you're going to have to practice tackling. But his point was, we can replicate everything in a match by basically doing everything quicker. So if you're practicing defence, rather than practicing actual tackles, practice getting there.
Getting into the positions to make that tackle.
Yeah, because doing it much faster than you would in the game.
If you're a pro player who's been playing since he's 9 years old and you've got 15 years experience.
That muscle memory, those basics, you haven't got to worry about it,
Yeah. And it does, I know from...
Well, Owen Farrell hasn't mastered tackling yet, but yeah.
Nor's Harry Mallander.
Yes.
There's a few players who've still not quite mastered it. Sippers,
yep. So the one.
Well, he started Sippers.
Oh, Dan Cole.
Sippers took a giant leap forward the other week with the Jack Berger face tackle. He's trying to bring that back.
Ooh.
It's a good effort on Faf.
Yeah, you don't want to go head to head with Faf.
That's
for sure.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Anyone see the Wasps game? Actually, do you know what? Forget the Wasps game, because there's another game that I want to talk about, and we haven't spoke about this at all. Edinburgh went and beat Glasgow.
They did.
It was a cracker.
After which Richard Cockerell said, and this is his aim as Edinburgh coach, maybe one day people will speak of Edinburgh and think of rugby first, not the effing castle.
That's a big call, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, the castle's been there for a long... I thought it was something else.
Yeah, it's been there for a while. What do you think of first when you think of Edinburgh?
What do I think? Good Night Out.
CJ.
Friend
of the pod.
The loads of Amdram types trying to sell their show in August.
Well, so we've been to Edinburgh twice when...
I like how dark
when it's been the Fringe, and we've still not been to a Fringe event.
What, me and you?
Yeah. We were out there a couple of years ago. During the Fringe.
Were we?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. No, I don't think I went. I've been for Six Nations. No, hang on. Yeah, I've been for Six Nations.
You didn't come last summer, which was earlier. The summer before that, when we went for a hotel. Anyway.
So Edinburgh claimed the 1872 Cup, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, whatever that is.
I quite like these, and I think this should be a little subdivision of... You know, sorry to keep going back to American football, but like the... American football, they have small divisions which are part of a conference. I actually wouldn't mind, or just in some way, just use the results in the inter-province games in Ireland or the Welsh province matches. Just have like a little Welsh trophy. You know, like, you know, you've won the Triple Crown. And that doesn't mean as much as winning a Six Nations Championship or a Grand Slam. But it's like a little, there's a little trophy.
So
a little
why is
that'd be quite nice. So Glasgow and Edinburgh have their trophy they play for. The best of the Irish teams should just get a little Irish.
Well, there is one between a Welsh club and an English club. Do you remember that one? Does anyone know?
The Ragdoll. Bath Scarlets.
Ah, okay.
I actually really like those little cups which you play for between each other. But yeah, just building on your point about conferences, I think this is probably the first year in which I've been covering rugby on the podcast. So I think the Pro 14 has been the better league, not just. In terms of the standard of the teams in it, but in terms of the competition itself, it's been better than the Premiership.
There is still the drop-off, the bottom...
There's some huge problems.
Bottom three or four teams, there is still an enormous gulf.
Like, Zebre beat Treviso. Now, don't get me wrong, this could be... this could just be a blip. But both those teams have had their most successful season ever.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Treviso got ten wins.
Look at the Pro 14. There are seven sides that would compete... in the Premiership, and there are seven sides who would really struggle.
And maybe go as far as say eight now, or maybe even nine, maybe eight.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, you're right, there is still the disparity, and you've got Southern Kings on one win and Dragons on two wins.
So it's both better and worse.
Yes. So I don't know what's going to happen to Southern Kings. I have no idea, right? But next year, the Dragons are going to be substantially better.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, Connacht have fallen off again, but they're not a bad team.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. I like it, and I want to praise. I don't want any fan of the Pro 14 to think I'm just, you know, knocking it. Particularly with look at the way Europe's gone. But
yeah,
equally,
Europe,
you are Leinster or you are Munster or whatever, and you put out some of the sides you put out in your Pro 14 games.
Yeah.
You will get panned.
And that is
you
that,
will get hammered in the Premiership.
And that is the big difference, isn't it? In Premiership, there are no weeks off. Yeah. And Pro 14, they quite frequently put out rubbish teams.
I don't know the answers, but I bet someone like, let's say, Conor Murray, has probably only played out of 21 Pro 14 games. He probably has played 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to know the numbers on that. I think the Pro 14 has the answer, which is they've got real, real quality sides now. I mean, Leinster might be probably one of the better sides of a generation alongside Saracens and maybe one or two others. But they probably could reduce some of the games, because if you get used to this conference format, I think you'll be more comfortable getting rid of some of your derbies.
Yeah, possibly. I actually think there are massive benefits to the club and to the country for having those weaker games for the players.
I'm not convinced.
Well, just getting young lads' experience of playing at that level.
Mm.
How many in the Premiership, how many players make their debut per season compared to the Pro 14?
I would suggest there were more in the Premiership, but only because there are more shirts up for grabs. Oh, no, hang on. No, it's not. I'm thinking of like Ireland versus...
Yeah, Ireland versus England. No, I'm talking... So, Leinster can put out a second team, and there are often a number of internationals in that second team.
Mm.
And the way that they've done that is they get to experience a huge number of players playing and then pick the best of them.
Just to add a bit of meat to the bones, it was a total guess, but Conor Murray has played 7 Pro 14 matches,
yes,
one of them as a replacement. Six Pro 14 starts in 21 games.
Not really enough, is it?
So that makes an enormous difference to Ireland and to Munster in Europe. And anyone that thinks that I'm just knocking the Pro 14 and not giving it its due respect when I say that is ridiculous. You can't argue with facts, and those are facts.
You're absolutely right there, mate.
I actually think it's a better structured league if you can do that, though. It's a less competitive league, and every league is better. But it depends what you're looking for.
You're selling entertainment, right?
If you're looking for contribution to the national team, which is one of the things that they are doing because the IRFU manages the players around the clubs, then that is a huge benefit.
The IRFU have done a truly remarkable job when you think about it.
Yeah,
I mean, Ireland were never a powerhouse of rugby growing up, and now they are. They're definitely the best in the Northern Hemisphere.
They're the second best in the world.
Yeah.
They are undisputably the second best in the world, and they won 3 out of 5 Six Nations.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. And I guess linking it back to the Pro 14, that might have to be the trade-off then. You know, you're only going to get a competitive Pro 14 in the playoffs and for 7 games out of 15 rounds or whatever.
And whilst it may improve things because you're... Italy are developing, so that Italian market's a potentially fruitful one. South Africa's definitely a potentially fruitful rugby market. Nevertheless, it's not as saleable a product.
True.
As a result.
That is a very good point, actually. It will not command the TV revenues.
It might, though, It might eventually. Because everyone thinks of it just of its domestic market, like Ireland, Wales, Scotland. But there will be an if they carry on developing and they carry on playing rugby like they are, people in England are going to want to watch Leinster card. Well, here's the problem.
No, well then if you only have guys like Conor Murray, who English casual rugby fans know, and 14 times out of 21
would you gamble on wasting your Friday night viewing on that when you don't know who's going to be playing? That's a fine point.
That is a great point. That's the biggest weakness.
But on the other hand, right, if you are providing all these players for the national team and the national team is funding your club team and there's enough kick down of money and they're successful enough that way, maybe that's how it's sustainable.
Yeah.
Right, let's get into a bit more rugby after Phil has done a quiz that's been organised. We talked about it for a few weeks and we've never actually ended up doing it. There's been too much to talk about.
I've been threatening. And this is the second part of a very good William Fournier quiz. We did the first one, which was called Schindler's List.
William Fournier sounds like a novelist.
So this is called Alan Wynne Jones.
Right.
And it's about Alan Wynne Jones himself and also some Wynnes.
Okay.
So, have you got pens and papers?
Yeah, I've got a word.
Yeah, whatever.
First question. Alan Wynne Jones has been on 3 Lions tours. How many total... correct. How many total appearances does he have in tests?
Sorry.
How many does he have in tests and how many does he have in total?
Ooh.
Two points available for this one.
Do replacements count as just a full appearance?
Replacement appearances would count.
Okay.
Okay. It's an easy one.
Okay.
Any more easy ones?
Hopefully. Question number 2. Less easy. Much less easy, in fact. I should really have proofread this beforehand. How many total minutes did Alan Wynne Jones play in the 2017 Tour to New Zealand?
Tour to New Zealand?
The 2017 Lions Tour to New Zealand.
You can just take that question out if you want, or we can just guess it.
I've got this. I know exactly what it is.
Exactly?
Yeah.
Okay, there's 10 points if you get it exactly available.
Okay.
There is...
Hold on, is that when you say tour to New Zealand? What year? Sorry?
2017 Lions tour to New Zealand. So there are 10 points if you get it exactly, the number of minutes, and then 1 point for the nearest.
Easy.
Okay.
Nailed that.
How many total caps does Alan Wynne Jones have for Wales?
Ooh, I don't know that.
Oh, wow.
There you go. Good enough. Next.
Question 4. In the 2015 Rugby World Cup game between Wales and England, Alan Wynne Jones played in a winning Welsh team. What was the final score and how were the points made?
So, what year?
2015 Rugby World Cup. I'm just going to go, what was the final score? 2015 Rugby World Cup.
What was the question again? I've just had a text message and I'll tell you about it in a second.
Okay. 2015 Rugby World Cup, Wales versus England. What was the final score? Again, nearest gets it if no one gets it exactly.
Glorious game. That
I've erased it from my memory, so I'm terrible at that.
I couldn't have told you.
Gareth Davis, what a legend, eh? Chris Robshaw, what a legend.
Question 5. How many tries does Alan Wynne Jones have in all domestic competitions?
SG.
What?
These are... It's not as intuitive as the Schindler's Lifts competition.
Yeah.
Or quiz.
Done.
And final question. Alan Wynne Jones captained the Lions in the third test in Australia 2013. What was the final score?
Final test in 2013?
2013, final test, Lions test, Australia versus the Lions.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be a lot of nearest 2 points here.
Yes, there is. Right, done. Let's get this done with.
So we'll go through them quickly. So yeah. 2 points available for the first one.
Yeah.
How many Lions appearances, B-class Lions or whatever you called them, Jay, and how many Class A Lions appearances?
Okay, so Class A... 9. I think he played in all the games. I put 9.
I put 9 as well.
Is correct for both of you.
And I said 20.
I put 7.
20 is also correct.
Is it?
On the nose.
Bloody hell. Oh, sorry, combined.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you said 16.
Yours would have been 16.
God damn.
Have that.
Very good.
Well, that one was a total joke.
Guess.
You want guesses?
There wasn't the 10-point bonus for being Bob on that one, unfortunately.
Bob on.
Next one, there's 10 points available if you get this correct on the nose.
Pretty sure I got
number of minutes.
Total number of minutes in the Lions tour.
515.
267.
215. 267. Ooh, you're both... It's split the difference. You're 120.
Well, I'm not exactly right.
So it's about 380 then.
It is 379. So JB gets the point.
Get in.
Just
to all.
Lazy, that's what I've always said about Alan Wynne-Jones.
Yeah,
exactly. Shift in, fella, come on.
And then how many total caps does he have for Wales?
103?
112.
Oh.
Tim gets the point.
117. Wow.
Good shift, and he's still got a few more years left to go.
He looks like he should have retired 5 years ago, just to look at.
Just to look, but when you see him play.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting, actually, in the Lions, when he did get quite a bit of stick, because he didn't have his best Lions tour, but then he's back to his best now. Question four. The final score of the England-Wales Rugby World Cup in 2015.
27-24.
JB?
Sorry, I'm just going back to 27-24, 12-15.
It was 28-25, so point to Tim.
Oh, damn it.
Which puts 4-2.
Well, I still get the point, that's fine.
Yeah. How many tries does Alan Wynne-Jones have in all domestic competitions?
15.
9.
JB gets the point.
Yeah!
Which makes it
4-3. How many did he have?
7. 6 in the Pro 14, 1 in Europe.
Wow.
This was as of the 23rd of March this year, if he's scored since then.
And?
Final question. Lions' third test in Australia 2013. What was the final score?
I gave him a bit of a hump in, I remember. So I went for 34.
Yeah,
15.
I think it's 40 something, 7.
What did you say, Tim?
34-15.
Let me just. 15. And JB?
40 something points to 7.
40 what to 7?
40 to 7.
40, 4-0. And, ooh. Interesting. It's going to take a little bit of working out this.
How are you going to do
what's
this?
What's the score? And we'll just take a little vote.
I think Tim gets it.
Why? Yeah. Why? Justify that.
Because it was 41 for 16.
Hang on.
So I was 1 point out on the away score.
I was 1 point.
You're 1 point. But I was I was closer to the home score than you were to the away score.
Yes.
This is outrageous.
Get in.
So.
Well, hang on. No, that's not true. Because with bigger numbers.
Percentages.
Yeah. That's an absolute nonsense.
There's no such thing as percentages, mate. It's just distance from a number.
Yeah.
No,
it's
no,
not
no,
a percentage.
No, no, no.
We're not doing percentages.
We have to do percentages, otherwise it isn't fair.
Do you want me to go back and do percentages on all your previous answers as well?
I think it's... Well, if you'd have prepared properly, you'd have had a spreadsheet set up for just this.
So Tim wins 7-3.
Yeah.
No. 5-3.
Yeah.
So when you listen to this podcast, congratulations, Tim. When you listen to this podcast, you'll be driving to work. It'll be a Monday morning. Simultaneously, apparently there's going to be a meeting at Leicester Tigers.
Really?
On Monday morning. I've heard this one before, but this one looks pretty legitimate.
Interesting.
Yeah, we have heard that before. And probably from the same people that...
This is not from the same person.
Because the people that said that before were completely wrong.
And there's another little thing coming out, which we won't mention. But, pay attention to Leicester Tigers over the next week, I would suggest.
Let's see what happens.
Do we need to? Because if it doesn't happen...
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen.
All right.
We haven't said what. Something's going to happen. We can claim it as that.
It might be just a standard press conference, as they normally do.
I told you.
Ahead of their fixture next week.
Exactly. There'll just be a standard press day. Nothing to worry about, boys.
JB announces all Leicester Tigers press days in future.
Do you know one reason I'm really glad it's nearly the end of the season?
Why?
I'm hoping to see the end of some of the worst kits that I've ever seen. That Newcastle away kit is an abomination.
Now, I did make...
Northampton Saints lime green kit is a total abomination.
Yep.
Awful.
The Newcastle Saints, who are they? The Newcastle kit was so bad at the start of the season, it didn't even have a sponsor. It's only recently they've had a sponsor. And do you know who the sponsor is?
Oh, I saw this the other night. I did notice it. Who was it?
Hitachi.
Yeah, that's it.
Heavy Machinery, brackets, UK.
Nice.
Because... Oh, construction machinery.
Then it makes some good gear.
Yeah, well, I mean, as I pointed out on my Twitter, were Hitachi worried about me buying Hitachi stuff not from the UK to satisfy my building machinery needs?
Importing it.
But we've got an office here.
Some excavators.
Going from that horrendous Newcastle away kit to the horrendous Northampton Saints away kit. I'm just going to show you a picture, which just shows at the end of the day, understandably, that the engines that drive rugby are the people that fund it. And one of the people that fund Northampton Saints is Tool Station, who are, they're a little subsidiary of Travis Perkins. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah. That's correct.
So Courtney Laws deserves better than this.
Ugh.
Cutting a ribbon of a Tool Station store with loads of the staff outside who have blue and yellow foam fingers on.
Wow, what a waste of an athlete. See, why didn't you send someone from the academy?
I told you, if you put a professional rugby player in normal public, you'd be able to tell which
next
one.
Next to doughy middle-aged men.
You'd be able to tell which one is the athlete.
Yeah, Courtney Laws doesn't stand out there much.
He deserves more than that. Stood under a big sign, but also it's really unfortunate, just stood under a sign saying Tool Station.
Maybe that's our new thing. Maybe we can get listeners of the pod to tweet in their pictures of rugby players amongst normal humans.
I like that.
Yeah. I like the contrast.
Yeah.
Normal human watch.
But ideally, not scrum halves.
Yeah.
Because then, even then, scrum halves are generally pretty decent nick.
Do you know what? No, scrum halves are tiny. They are actually tiny when... Yeah, no. Not unless it's Mike Phillips. Like, Faf de Klerk is tiny.
Yeah.
He's tiny.
Yeah.
So, we need to rattle through some stuff because we've got a deadline to hit soon.
Have we?
So, right, I believe so, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, Phil's got content to
do. So, Wasps wrapped up their playoff spot. Weren't totally convincing, but they did win in the end.
Oh, what do you make of the Daily story?
Well, the Wasps story.
Yeah.
Daily Launchbury and one other, was it?
Daily and Launchbury were the two named, but we'll see out their contracts and leave.
See out their contracts and leave because they're unhappy about the fact a training base hasn't been established. Now, I don't know how much of this is investigative journalism that's found a source, verified a source and published a story.
It's from Chris Hoy, so it'll be good.
And how much of it is just seeing James Haskell's Instagram stories. And he is a little bit... he's very open with information on his Instagram stories. He made an off-the-cuff joke on his Instagram story about how the fact their training setup hasn't been sorted out yet, which was something that apparently it was intimated that would happen within a year of moving to Coventry. They're still in kind of porter cabins at Black Street Rugby Club?
Broad Street
Rugby Club. Yeah.
So why don't they just develop Broad Street? I mean, surely Broad Street would be up for that.
Don't know.
They want their own base.
Yeah.
I think Saracens do something similar, don't they? Their training bases are...
Old Albanian.
Well, I would say a couple of things. Probably one of the best training bases in all of English rugby...
Sunbury.
..is London Irish. That doesn't necessarily guarantee... And also...
Bath is cool.
Bath is very cool. But three times... Yeah, but when Bath were the dominant team, they had Lambridge, a bog, just on the road into Bath, with one old-fashioned... no central heating building, it was like a cow shed. And also, three-time European champions Toulon is one of the shabbiest ramshackle training setups you can get.
Yeah, not really right, that is it.
So my point is, there's a little bit like, get over it a little bit, but also maybe there's obviously maybe other things at play with financial situations. Who knows?
Yeah, the other stuff from that article that we've referenced was that those players in particular haven't been paid, or there's dispute over their personal image rights,
which Wasps
payments
say is not true.
Yeah,
well, they were late. If they're late paying, that's quite serious. I mean, you do payments, Phil. That is pretty serious.
It is serious, very serious. It's interesting that in Dai Young's statement, he didn't address that at all. Now, he didn't even make a comment on it, not to deny it or say anything. He just addressed the training ground issue and said, yeah, it's well reported that we're currently in temporary cabins at Broad Street. We have looked at two places, both of which have fallen through, and we're still trying to source somewhere.
Oh yeah, and we've run out of money.
Yeah, well, it didn't. And then the article did go on to speculate, and it was very much speculation, that was it one of the first loan payments against the bond, or repayments against the bond that they bonds that they issued, is becoming due. So if there are cash flow issues, that is going to press them further.
Yeah. So how much did they borrow? 17 million, I think it was.
I thought it was more than that, but the number's almost don't really matter.
I don't know why I thought it was 17 million.
They've borrowed a significant sum of money. They have to obviously make their repayments on that significant sum of money. If they were making expectations about growth due to gate receipts, growth in revenue due to gate receipts, that hasn't come to fruition. And again, all speculation because I have no idea. But if they did, there could be some cash flow issues.
Yeah, there is. Actually, can I? No, let's leave it there. Okay.
I always like when you hint at something and then just don't say anything.
Yeah. Recorded live.
We don't need to talk too much about the rugby because Worcester sealed their Premiership status by humping Quins.
Does anyone care about what happens next week except for the Sale game?
No. The Quins incident, I just want to mention, is someone else. We talked about the fact that Carl Sinclair was neither on the list of players that Quins released saying they had renewed their contract.
Yes.
And he wasn't on the list of players that are leaving through retirement or to another club.
Really?
He's in a little no man's land. He had a little moment of madness once again.
Yeah. Go on, tell me about it.
He obviously felt aggrieved about something that had happened against a Worcester player.
One of the Worcester players went off the feet of the breakdown, yeah. Basically.
Yeah. And Carl Sinclair just let his frustration bubble over and he sort of just kind of, you know how sometimes if someone tries to hold you into a line out and you're trying to get away,
you do that
thing where you hit down in a hammer motion on their arm to get them off. He just did that on the guy's back a few times.
And it was kind of...
What was it, card?
He got penalised.
No. I think, was it Craig Maxwell Keys?
Yeah.
I thought he handled that really well, actually.
Yeah, I do.
I thought, because he gave a penalty, he had a word with him. It could have been, if you'd applied letter of the law, you could have said, no, it's striking, blah, blah, blah.
Deliberate punch with force, letter of the law, red card.
Red card. It was a punch.
But it was in frustration, it was on his back, it was certainly not going to do any damage, but it was stupid. So I thought he did very, I thought he reacted well.
Yeah, but Sinclair again, this sort of temper and stuff.
Yeah.
It nearly cost the Lions.
It did. And I watched, interestingly, because I was thinking about that, and I went back and watched that moment and just typed in the last minute of the second test. And Conor Murray plays an absolute blinder. You see Carl Sinclair gets hit, wins the for which the Lions get the penalty and Owen Farrell slots the winning points. Carl Sinclair gets up and goes to go for the New Zealander. And just as he's getting up off the floor, Conor Murray grabs his collar and pulls him away.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? Yeah,
perfect.
Ooh. So, yeah, but anyway, Quins just... I don't know whether he and Quins are suffering from a bit of post-traumatic stress disorder with this season.
Well, I think he's going, you know.
So is Kingston still in role until the end of the season?
Mm-hmm. Embarrassingly, yes.
Yeah.
So...
Shame.
I don't think that can help.
No.
So all of the frustrations that they had will still be there with either Kingston or the current members of the team.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get any change in results. And that showed. Worcester played well. Quins played awfully. Big win for Worcester.
So let's focus on the what's to come. So the Pro 14 has finished now with that victory for Edinburgh.
So when do they start the playoffs next week?
I think they've got a couple of weeks rest because I think next week they've got a rest ahead of the following week, which is the...
European Cup.
Yeah.
Let me have a look.
European Cup final.
So, Ulster didn't manage to get the win that could have put them in with a shout, but Edinburgh won in any case, so it was irrelevant.
Yeah.
So, progressing to the playoffs, Leinster, Scarlets and Edinburgh from Pool Conference B, Conference A, Glasgow, Munster and Cheetahs.
Mm. Good. It's good to see a South African team there.
It is.
That's a massive success. Shame they didn't have an Italian team in there.
And they will travel to Scarlets for their eliminator match.
So,
Edinburgh will go to Munster, the winner of which will play.
So, these games occur on the 5th of May.
Which is next weekend.
Next weekend.
So, that's
perfect.
The eliminator round. Yeah. Yes. Then you have the European
So, Leinster
Champions
aren't
Cup.
Involved in that anyway.
Yeah.
And Cardiff Blues aren't involved because they're not in.
Games.
So, it doesn't affect the European preparations.
No.
Yeah.
So, Munster.
Munster hosts Edinburgh.
Oh, hang on. Sorry. Let me just get this right. Who's... Yeah. Munster host Edinburgh. I see Edinburgh winning this.
Really?
Just do. I think they're a tough side. They've sort of surprised themselves how far they've got, but now they're here. they can beat up anyone, and I think they'll beat up Munster.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. In Ireland,
That's a good point.
No, I don't see that happening.
No,
Cheetah Scarlets. I think Scarlets will win that.
But a big step forward from Edinburgh.
Massive
this season.
Massive step forward.
2 points off Scarlets and Leinster in the conference.
Yeah, yeah. Massive step forward from Edinburgh, and I think they'll build on it. And it's a real boost for someone like Richard Cockerell, who left Leicester in not the best circumstances.
Yeah, it wasn't a particularly fashionable coach when he left.
No, not at all. But he's shown that his kind of hard-edged way of playing can absolutely get results.
So I'm just looking through the team here, right? And what I quite like about Edinburgh is, and basically Richard Cockerell, is the team isn't that impressive. But yeah, he's actually made these players impressive players. So if you read this team, the one that played for Edinburgh against Glasgow yesterday, and you read it last year, you'd think, yeah, they're a pretty poor team. But basically, just through hard work and good team graft, they're actually starting to be recognised now as good players. Stuart McAnally, for instance.
He's a great player.
And let's Ben Toulis, let's be fair, and coaching.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Sam Hidalgo. I can't say his name.
Hidalgo Klein.
He's not signed for anyone yet, has he?
I don't know.
No, he's been released, but he's not signed for anyone.
So, the other game, we'll see Cheetahs travelling to Parker Scarlets.
Yeah.
Scarlets, I would guess.
Yeah.
I would put...
But this could should
be entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. I put quite should a bit of loose. Money on Scarlets.
That's got to be worth watching.
Yeah.
Cheetahs have scored more points than any other side by a massive margin.
Is that because they play...
Oh, no, that's not true. That's against. Points against.
Oh, right. That's a different stat.
Oh, no, they've still got the second highest points. Glasgow are the only team to have scored more points than them.
That is quite remarkable. And they've scored...
but they have conceded the most.
They have conceded the most. They've scored 81 points more than the Scarlets.
No, Southern Kings have conceded the most by a considerable amount.
And Dragons.
And Zebra.
How many times a year do Kings play the Cheetahs?
Four games.
Is it four, or do they not play against like the Italians or the...
No, you play against your own nation, home and away. In the case of Edinburgh, and in the case of Italy, South Africa, it was at least three games. No, there must be four. There must be four. Yeah, there must be. Anyway.
Cutting edge Pro 14 knowledge.
But yeah,
podcast.
If they've had four 60-point wins against...
That would help. So really, you've just got to hope that your compatriots are rubbish.
Sorry, 21 games, six other teams in your pool play them home and away. That's 12.
Yeah.
Seven teams in the opposite pool play them each once, home or away. That's 19. There's two extra games which are against your home nation. So three.
Three, okay.
Is that... No. No. Anyway, no, I don't know.
Just out of interest, does anyone know what happens to a club if you spend over your salary cap and it is found out?
Yeah.
Go on.
There's financial penalties for it.
Like how large?
So it's something like... This came up when Wasps went slightly over because of agents' fees got suddenly added because the agent moved from South Africa to the UK or something like that. And it was... I can't remember what the rates are, but it's like 10p in the pound up to... I don't know.
Exactly, like a luxury tax.
It's like 10p in the pound as a payment up to a certain amount, and then over a certain amount it's 30p in a pound, and then 50p, and then 100p in a pound. I think it can even go up to more than the actual amount.
Yeah, if you go significantly over.
Wow.
So it's a sliding scale based on how big the breach is.
Let me have a look versus at how much what the money fines needs are. To be paid here. Do we know where we can find the rules?
Let's not do this now. Let's do this.
Okay. Yeah, let's not do this right. Radio maths. go on.
One thing I have just looked up is the Kings have played, or the Cheetahs have played the Kings three times this season, and they have scored 119 points against them. So they've averaged 40 points per game against them, which is not enormous, but it is more than most.
Excellent. Let's call it a day then, boys.
The Premiership games,
fixtures.
Again, just run through
them. Does anyone
care
about these?
There's something riding on a couple of the games.
Well, just let's do the ones.
If you were doing a Leo Vegas accumulator, maybe.
Maybe, yes. Okay.
Or other betting sites.
Yes.
There are other betting sites available now, actually.
now.
So it's London Irish West v London Irish East.
Yeah.
This will go to London Irish West.
See, the problem is, who
will probably, after that game at some point, confirm the signing of Fijian and Joe.
Oh, really?
Potentially. Well, that was the rumour, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Joe Cock and the singer will go to Bath if Irish get relegated.
There's rumours of Johnny Williams going somewhere as well.
Bath would stack up.
Well, everyone else does.
Yeah.
I'd like to see some.
They've got a lad called Ben Loder, apparently Irish. He's going to be absolutely astounding. Like some 19-year-old fullback who might be moving elsewhere.
Hmm. Don't know Loder.
Nope.
So we've got Bath to win at home.
Yeah.
Have they got? They don't know. They don't have a chance even at top six, do they?
No. Mathematically, they do. Because
if Sale lose and Gloucester lose and Bath get 5 points, then it will be on points difference. Which so there's a slim chance actually.
Yeah.
Bath could if Bath get five. Bath get 5 points against Irish.
Gloucester
and Sale.
Nil.
Well, Gloucester will probably lose to Saracens without. And if they get no bonus point.
If they get no bonus point, yeah.
And then it's all on hoping that Sale don't win.
Yeah.
So
there is a chance.
I think legitimately, Sale is the only game with much riding.
Well,
on
so
it.
The Bath Irish game is worth watching. Bath needs to get 5 points. Quinn's Exeter, fine, whatever.
Yeah, yep. Exeter are going to win that comfortably.
Newcastle Wasps. This was looking like it was going to be a huge finale.
Yeah,
but actually, it's just
this is the
play Exeter or Saracens Bowl.
Yeah, it still decides finish third.
Go to Saracens.
Go to Saracens. Finish fourth. Go to Exeter, which neither of those is particularly attractive. I don't know what's the best one. Hobson's choice. What would you rather do, Jay? If your beloved Sale were in fourth place now, would you prefer them
to
travel to Saracens?
If I supported a team, right, and I was thinking, where would I rather go? Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it based on the fan experience.
Okay.
Because
you're going to lose either way.
I mean, there's no...
So you want to go to Sandy Park?
I want to go to Sandy Park.
Yeah, you're right.
Alternatively, do you know what? If you're from Newcastle and you want to actually go there, then it's a lot easier to get...
The
Virgin Trains East Coast... to London.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, then because it's so far.
But you could fly to...
Yeah, it's justified.
Fly to Exeter. Yeah. Good point. I see this going. Who's at home? Newcastle are going to win at home.
Newcastle at home. Newcastle beat Wasps away early in the season as well, didn't they? So, Newcastle to do the double.
Northampton v Worcester. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Nope.
Saracens at home to Gloucester. It matters in terms of top six for Gloucester.
If Gloucester win, which they won't do, they can guarantee themselves.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right. It's good. I thought
it's old school. I've not done that for a while.
It is. Yeah, Gloucester could secure top six themselves. I think it's unlikely because I think the most important game is the one after it. Which is Sale Sharks versus Leicester.
That's probably the one that probably Gloucester fans will be looking at realistically more than their own team's game. They'll be looking at the outcome of Leicester v Sale.
And,
or Sale v Leicester.
So, if again, it's a long shot, but if Gloucester won or drew with a four-try bonus point and Sale win with 5 points and Leicester get nil, Leicester could be out of top six. Now, that's not going to happen.
Yes, both of those.
But, whoa, why is it not going to happen?
Gloucester aren't going to get a five-point win against Saris.
That is true.
Yeah.
But
Gloucester have to get at least 3 points.
I do not think
Saris.
that Tigers show up to the AJ Bell and come away with points. There's no chance. I think Sale will be far too good for them. And also, fifth place for Sale represents a massive achievement.
It does.
And fifth place for Tigers represents... a huge underachievement.
Well, if Sale win, Leicester would then be in sixth.
Yeah.
Which is awful for Leicester. Simply awful.
I kind of want Gloucester to win, though. See how it all pans out.
Well, all these games will be going on at the same time, of course.
Oh, no, the board. The board is wrong for the first time ever. The board of destiny.
What did it say?
Had Sale at fourth.
Fourth. Oh, no.
They also had Matt O'Connor being fired.
Oh, there's still time. You said in-season.
In-season firing, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, until it kicks off in September.
When you're listening to this, Monday's Leicester Tigers announcement might have happened.
Well, no. Monday's totally rumoured Leicester Tigers announcement, which could be more hogwash and rumour. It's just total conjecture at this point.
No. I think we're done. I think that's enough.
I think that is enough.
Imagine Leicester not making the European Cup.
That would be incredible.
Well, sixth position, as we've talked about before, and again, give credit to JP Doyle for the person that pointed it out. He said, have a look at the performance of whoever finishes sixth in the Premiership. They tend to, not every year, but they tend to tank the next year because the pressure of...
He's completely correct on that.
The pressure of being the lowest seeded side.
Look, Sale had to play Scarlets,
Toulon,
and Saracens in their group.
In previous years, they've had Toulon and Munster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a tough place to be, that sixth position. Only fifth won't be much better.
Not enormously, no.
So there we go. One more round to go in the domestic rugby, and then we're into European Cup, we're into semi-finals and finals, and of course this weekend, Pro 14. I'm definitely going to be watching Cheetahs v Scarlets. Any confirmation of when the fixtures are?
Yeah, 5th of May.
Yeah, what time?
No, what time?
When? I don't know. Just keep all the 5th of May.
It hasn't. I'm... Yeah, well, whenever that is, I am...
This must be costing the Pro 14 a bloody fortune in flights.
It is 3:15 for Munster, Edinburgh, and then 6:35 for Scarlets, Cheetahs.
Excellent. All over that. On what day?
Both on the 5th, which is the Saturday.
All right, so the Premiership will be over and then settle down for Scarlets, Cheetahs.
Yeah, straight after the Premiership, Scarlets, Cheetahs.
Love it.
Anyone fancy coming to Sale Leicester on Saturday?
Saturday, 3 o'clock. Yeah. I've got a lot of painting to do.
I'm awaiting information on where I am working.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Which potentially, now with the way it's going, could potentially be nowhere.
Nowhere.
Because
Sorry,
I don't know.
We're not going to send reporters to 5 out of the 6 games because no one cares.
I would imagine that they will probably want me to be somewhere just in case. Well, potentially they'll want me to be somewhere just in case, say, Gloucester get an unlikely win.
Yeah.
Reaction.
But you live in Manchester. Send you a Sale game. It's only fair.
Well, that's all good. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.